Thursday night? Is it Thursday night already? You know how I know it's Thursday night? Not that he's here every single week, but when he's here, I know that it's Thursday night. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Scott Stantis sits to my right. He is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, also a member of the editorial board, and our friend, Warren C. Price, from European and U.S. Autobody, has brought us pizza. Scott, how are you enjoying the pizza?
Oh, my God.
I'm saying. From Michael's. Thank you, Michael's. Where's Michael's located, by the way?
It's across the street from the shop.
Which is where?
4080 North Broadway. I was wondering when you were going to ask that.
It's across the street from the shop. Okay, so for those of us who haven't been to your incredibly... not just manned, but laid out. So Warren brought me in one day, right? I needed to have some work done on my Honda Odyssey.
I didn't bring you in. Your car brought you in.
My car brings me in. No, but he goes, let me show you something. And we start walking down this path, right? Yes, thank you. It's the old-time radio show. And do you have, like, the... Can you make the sound of, like, the drills that take off the bolts off the tire?
That's close.
That's pretty good. And so we're walking and we're walking and we're walking and we keep walking. And it's like blocks and blocks of garage off of Broadway Avenue near Irving Park Road, which is an incredible business that Warren has built over there in the, is it Lakeview? The Lakeview area.
We have to call it South Uptown North Lakeview.
Okay.
It's literally Lakeview or Buena Park, even if you want to really define it more.
I don't call anything Buena Park because I don't know what that is.
What? It means good park.
Yeah, I understand Buena. That, but I'm not familiar with the... yeah.
There's Buena Park in L.A.
Well, so I live in Gladstone. Okay, oh, never mind.
Gladstone?
I didn't say that out loud. My husband's... Michael, can you edit that out for the podcast so my husband never hears the fact that I say where I possibly live?
Because it's over there.
It's a neighborhood that's surrounded by another neighborhood.
It's over there.
Which is the way I imagine Buena Park to be as well. Is like it's not necessarily like it's established area, but there are pieces of it that are Lakeview and Rogers Park, right?
Rogers Park is way north.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, this is...
I'm so bad.
But the building's only 38,000 square feet.
That's all?
2.5 football fields long.
Yeah. That's half the size of your house.
I'm saying.
Because you have that sweet, sweet radio money.
38,000 square feet, Scott. How much do you live in? I live in less than about 700 square feet is what I live in.
That's your bedroom.
I think ours is 950.
Okay, so a little bit, so maybe a little bit bigger. Mine might be slightly bigger. My last apartment was 650.
Was that you and Steve?
Me and Steve. And now I have...
Can we mention him, by the way?
Steve, my husband.
Okay.
Our apartment is the second floor of a two flat, and it is, maybe 800 tops, right? But the people we bought it from, they raised a family of six in the apartment that we live in.
When you were brought up, how many people lived in your house?
Three people. That was less than 600 square feet. I shared a bunk bed with my dad. Let's not go into the trauma session with my therapist.
But there are not brothers and sisters.
No.
No.
A dog. Pepper was very small.
So we had five of us in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, let's not look crazy.
Okay, no.
You and your siblings, maybe. Your parents?
We made it work.
The amount of time I wait for a bathroom, and I only have one son who's in the bathroom all the time, Griffin, who's 14, and, like, God bless him, do what you need to do. I know you don't have a lot of privacy because you share a room with your brother.
Does he groom a lot?
I don't know what he's doing in there, Scott.
Yes, you're not supposed to know.
I don't say anything. I just, after 45 minutes to an hour, I say, hey.
Yeah, my mother.
Is everything okay?
That's what my mom's line.
My mom did that, but I would actually, because I had a bit of a stutter when I was a kid, and my dad gave me, because he was a broadcaster, gave me exercises, and the only private space, I was one of four boys, the only private space I had was in the bathroom. So I'd sit on the can, and I'd go, Roses supposes his toeses are noses.
Moses supposes erroneously.
Wow.
For nobody toeses are roses, as Moses supposes erroneously. Yes. I would do that for hours, and so now I speak good.
In the bathroom?
Yes.
Perhaps. Yes, you speak very well.
Peter
I would never would have known.
Yeah, I have to bring a toilet into the studio here and speak well.
How many pickles can Peter peck?
How many pickles can Peter Piper pick if Peter... that's not it.
Yep.
Theophilus Thistle, the successful thistle sifter, has sifful of sifted thistles, has sifful of unsifted thistles. Now, if Theophilus Thistle, the successful thistle sifter, had a sifful of sifted thistles...
Does he have
syphilis? A sifful of unsifted... He had syphilis.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
No, anyway.
Esmeralda, do you do any of these tongue twisters?
No. I just let it flow.
Just let it... Michael, have you ever done any of these tongue twisters?
Yeah, I used to, when I was trying to practice sing, they were very helpful.
What are the ones that you would do?
Unique New York was a good one.
Yes. Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers.
Mamie My Mamoo.
That's a classic. I'm sorry, what hurts?
Mamie My Mamoo.
Okay.
That was an exercise.
Those aren't words.
Aluminum linoleum.
Mamie My Mamoo.
Oh, those of you at home, if you're wondering how to build your speaking skills and articulation, ours was, can't you, don't you, won't you, William. So you enunciate all the T's instead of can't you, won't you, even though I'll be doing a live read, and now people will hear this, by the way, my live reads. I'll get to it, and I'll try so very hard to make sure I don't say ch at the end of a can't, like can't you. Don't you?
Can't chew.
Chew,
God
exactly.
Bless you.
Would you, and also could you, would you, did you, like that kind of stuff. Instead of did you, would you?
Do you guys know the stump one? The skunk and the stump? The skunk sat on a stump.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right, then.
The stump thought the skunk stunk.
That's
it.
Sinky.
It goes on.
Is it someone driving through downtown Chicago and people who apparently think that marijuana is legal?
Every time I smell that smell, it's coming from a car. I live in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
From a every car. Time it's coming from a car. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, the car has either a Lyft or an Uber sticker.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It is prevalent.
I haven't been blessed with that yet.
Blessed is not the word.
If you were in an Uber car or a Lyft and it smelled like that, would you ask your driver for some or would you report them?
We were at a Blackhawks game and we kind of got discombobulated. We couldn't find the L, and so I just ordered an Uber, and the guy shows up and clearly he had enjoyed the ganj, and we got in. I don't know.
I don't know if I'd report the person. All I know is that I wouldn't go with the person.
Really? Yeah. He was
very mellow in downtown traffic.
I know.
He was so chill.
Yeah, totally.
He's like, it is what it is, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
We need to talk to Warren about the ways you can protect yourself when you're filing a claim with insurance companies, or the kinds of things that insurance companies might put you through. Is that an accurate way to put
it, Warren? It's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate. I'd like to start by saying hi to my daughters, Lily and Claire.
Are they up?
They better be. If they're not. They're not.
Why? They've got school tomorrow.
That's okay. You know.
Are they on spring break?
Spring break was last week.
All right.
We went to Puerto Vallarta.
I just wanted to throw some. Ooh.
Yeah. Nice.
Muy bueno.
Sí.
I've been to Puerto Vallarta. It's muy bueno.
Sí.
Tris. Anyway, I just want, I don't usually shamelessly pitch something, but I actually came from an art exhibit this evening. Richard Shipps. We fell in love with his work when we moved here in 2009. He's a cut paper artist. Magnificent stuff. And he just has opened a brand new show. And I think it's Morris University.
Okay.
Robert Morris University. And it's on the corner of Van Buren and State. And honest to goodness, beautiful, huge space. And he does these magnificent big pieces.
Okay.
And so do yourself a big favor. Go to the Richard Shipps exhibit at Robert Morris University on the corner of Van Buren and State.
Excellent.
Trust me on this. You will be, your eyes will, I have been a fan of his work. I don't know if that's the right word. I've been an admirer of his work.
I think a fan of someone's work is appropriate. I'm a fan of Warren's work. I'm a fan of your work.
Well, thank you.
I'm a fan of your work.
Oh, wow. Michael, I'm a fan of your work. Esmeralda, also a fan of your work. Rob, I know at another microphone, fan of your work as well. But I think it's a good way. Admirer of work, I think, is appropriate.
Yeah, so if you do yourself a big fat favor, go there for lunch hour. They have a little cafe in there, apparently. And the students actually...
Espresso.
It's like an empanada for like $2.
You know, we should do a whole segment on those small exhibits, whether it's a storefront or at a college, because I never would have known about that. Like when I was at the University of Illinois, they had on display there's a wooden leg on display in Champaign. By the way, we've given away no prizes this week. If you can tell me what soldier's leg is or has been on display at the Illinois History Museum in Champaign-Urbana.
It's
for real. Real wooden leg.
Oh.
Real wooden leg.
Wow.
And we will pull up the rest of the story and tell you about it. But 312-981-7200. I have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. If you can tell me whose wooden leg has been on display as a history exhibit and why it's significant for Illinoisans. I think it's a two-part question. Not just whose leg it is, but why is it on display and has been on display in Illinois. 312-981-7200, but this goes to those unique and odd exhibits throughout the city of Chicago or throughout the state of Illinois that people might not know about.
Yeah, well, but we'll take your breath away.
312-981-7200. Whose wooden leg has been on display in history museums in Illinois. More after this on 720 WGN. Okay, my question was, because Scott Stantis, the cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, was mentioning this great art exhibit at Robert Morris College featuring an artist named...
Richard Chips.
Richard Chips, who is a...
cut paper artist.
Don't even know what that is, but I can imagine it.
Honest to goodness.
I must see that.
Well, I'll show you during the break.
And it reminded me that there are so many great exhibits throughout Illinois and throughout the country, obviously throughout the world, that you, like, there's the medical exhibit. There's a history of medicine in Illinois and Chicago, and you can go visit that and see all the early antique, you know, medical equipment that doctors used to use. And in Champaign-Urbana for a while, there was an exhibit that had a certain body part and a prosthetic for a very well-known military figure. And I want to know if you guys know who that was. Jim, whose wooden leg has been on display in Illinois and why?
I don't know why. I'm guessing Casimir Pulaski, but just a wild guess.
It's a very good guess because Casimir Pulaski, obviously very very popular in Chicago as a Polish figure in our history, but not the correct answer. Jim, where are you calling from?
Calling from Chicago.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, and we encourage you to try again, but that is not the correct answer.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Jim P., who is your guess for which world history, like a history figure that has a prosthetic on display in history museums in Illinois?
John Wilkes Booth.
That's an excellent guess. What part of his body would you think would be on display, though?
His leg.
It is his leg, as far as I know, and I will have Michael double check. I'm going to put you on hold because I would hate to find out that there are two people in history whose prosthetic legs have been on display.
It can't be him.
I don't know if it is, but he hurt his leg when he was
jumping.
He hurt
it, but they didn't amputate it.
I don't think they amputated
it. They shot him right in the barn, which can be extraordinarily painful.
Well, there you go. Here is another guest. Susan, whose leg has been on display in Illinois museums?
Mexican General Santa Anna.
You are correct.
No.
Yes.
No, that's not true.
Yes, that is true.
You're showing me the leg.
General Santa Anna's prosthetic leg remains on display in the Illinois State Military Museum
in
Springfield.
How did that get here?
Yeah. Well, very good question that you have.
I ask good questions.
Well, now, Susan, do you know why we have it? Susan?
Yes.
Do you know why we have Santa Anna's leg?
No, I just think it was for to show diversity.
Oh,
sure. Why not?
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, diversity. There's yes, as far as
in wooden legs.
No, why in the world would that be here?
It was an Illinois battalion of soldiers that actually surprised him while he was... So he was picnicking,
and
he had taken his leg off in order to enjoy himself.
The Battle of San Jacinto, which wasn't a battle. They were asleep.
Yes.
And Sam Houston and his guys showed up and...
So he didn't have time to reattach his leg. So the Illinois infantry confiscated, they took his leg, and we now have it in Illinois on display.
Man,
Susan, you have won a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza, and I love, did you guys know that from like a newspaper article? Because it was in the Tribune last year, or 2 years ago. Did you see that article, Susan?
No, I didn't. I didn't look it up. I looked it up.
Oh, you did? Susan's very honest. Well, for your honesty, we have a gift card from Lou Malnati's. Hold on the line, and Michael will take your information. Jimmy, how did you know the correct answer? Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy.
Hey. Well, much like Susan, I looked it up, and there's a couple different versions of why you guys got it. They also said they found gold with the leg inside of his carriage. On the side of the road there. So, Santa Anna, I thought for sure I'd get this one.
I know. Well, Susan just got, like, barely beat you to the punch on Googling it. And so congratulations on both of your Googling skills. We appreciate that.
From the state that taxes you an arm and a leg.
Oh.
We have Santa Anna's leg.
Excellent.
Yes. How did you know this, Penny?
Me?
Yeah.
Hello, history degree.
I know.
I'm fascinated by these. Well, it's also Illinois. It's Illinois history. It was the Mexican Mexican War and the well, Mexicans obviously call it the invasion of Mexico. So I've
which
got
it kinda was,
double duty interest in this. Also, having gone to the University of Illinois, having been down in Springfield, I was fascinated by this story that we just, and Texas is demanding the leg back, by the way.
It's not theirs, it's Santa Ana's.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Do they want it on loan?
Texans, however, expect Illinois to relinquish the leg.
No.
They have their own issues with Santa Ana, who led Mexican troops during the War of Independence and gained infamy by executing more than 300 prisoners, right? So they want that leg because they want it as a sort of a battle trophy.
No. Yeah, no. What we should do is
you know how you get win it in battle.
Exactly. You know how you get the leg? You surprise Santa Ana while he's eating some grapes and cheese.
Come to Illinois, Texas. Go to the University of Illinois and go steal it out of there.
Texas, come surprise us.
That's
and
right.
Take the leg back.
Yeah, have a good night, Jimmy. Thanks for Googling with us.
Thanks,
that's,
Jimmy.
And that's how you win stuff on my show, is you Google it.
Coming up, invade it.
Or you invade it. So, yeah, that's kind of my... it's one of my favorite stories about museums in the city. We have to go to Springfield. It's now in Springfield.
Yes.
You would love this museum. There's great museums down there. So, Warren, we're doing a road trip. Just saying.
I can't wait. I'll drive.
We're getting a party van.
Do you have a convertible?
No. Yes.
Right. I don't want to... It does things
in
my hair.
No, but we need a truck.
All right, then. Let's go to the news and work all this out during that break. The political cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, was sharing a delightful story about a wonderful artist that he wants us all to check out at the Robert Morris College over by there. It's a it's cut paper art. It's, and his name is?
Richard Shipps.
And I was commenting on like how many unique and wonderful exhibits there are throughout the state of Illinois. And in your community, if you're not in Illinois, you have quirky, strange, wonderful, amazing exhibits all over your community. If you live in a small town, if you live in a big town, there are always people expressing themselves, or there's always a collection of pieces that you didn't know about. And we were talking about how the Illinois State Military Museum has Santa Ana's leg on display because an infantry unit happened to surprise him during the Mexican-American War. He was picnicking, and he had no time to reattach his wooden leg. So we now have it, and Texas can just go away. They want it back. Too bad. Trucker
come get
Rich,
it.
Come get it. Trucker Rich has a comment on this. Hey, Trucker Rich, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Patty. I was kind of excited because this was one of the first history questions I could have answered, but I couldn't get through. But I was telling Michael that there was a whole episode on King of the Hill, if you're familiar with that cartoon.
Sure.
Such a good show. Yes.
Mike Judge.
How Hank and all his buddies were teaming up with Texas, wanting the leg back from Illinois.
Oh, really? They made a whole episode about trying to storm our Illinois museum? I'm saying, this is a thing for Texas. Too bad. Too slow.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to go through South Illinois. Good luck with that.
Yeah, you snooze, you lose, man.
Hey, listen, Anna Jonesboro is a tough little town.
Cairo?
What a great way, Trucker Rich, to find out a piece of history, don't you? Did you ever Google it afterwards and like, is this real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was. You know, I mean, this was like 3 or 4 years ago that this
episode
was on.
Oh, too funny.
So,
hey, Trucker Rich, I got a question for you because this actually dovetails a little bit. You're on the roads all the time, and I've got Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto Body in studio with us. You must see a lot of accidents on the road, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, what would you tell drivers when they find themselves, you know, in the middle of nowhere? What would be your advice to people who maybe aren't that savvy when they have to, you know, maybe bring in the police or file a claim? What would you tell people?
I'm really not sure. I mean,
really?
You know, I mean,
what would you do?
What would you do if something happened, Trucker Rich?
What would you do, Trucker?
I'd just try to explain it honestly because, I mean, I've been run into in my semi.
Okay.
You know, I had a...
Here's a question for you. What if the insurance company wanted you to go to the place that they wanted you to go to and you didn't?
Now, the insurance company I have, I'm allowed to choose my body shop. They recommend one, but I'm also allowed to go with my body shop.
Don't you like that? Isn't that a better feeling to
be
able to go?
Yeah. The law says you can do what you wish.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance companies are not supposed to steer you to any place, but suggest to you where you should go for your own happiness. But they lean in quite a different direction.
Interesting.
Right.
There you go. Well, Tucker Rich, you be safe out there so we don't have to worry about your claims or having to file anything.
Yeah.
You have to be careful, Tucker.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Let's knock an artificial simulated wood dashboard that nothing's happened in about 20 years.
We got Corian in the studio, so we'll do our best on
Corian.
It.
Yeah. Very
all right.
There's wood underneath
right.
it.
Thanks, Trucker Rich. We'll talk to you later.
Right.
You know, I wanted
right,
to
bye-bye.
Say something.
Yeah.
I wanted to congratulate all the guys over at Chicago Northside Toyota because they just opened up their new location at 6042 Northwestern. Bob LaCorsio and his brother Tony.
Okay.
You know, and they've just this brand new facility. And Felix Olivares, their service director, and putting together a great crew. And I wish them all the best luck. That
I'm
they
just
have.
Thinking, does his brother have to be called Tony? It just seems like it has to be.
Seems like a car
okay,
ownership sort of.
Anthony?
Or Anthony.
Well, I'm guessing Anthony is okay. what he's going for. Right
so there's a brand new facility, and I just hope and wish them all the luck in the world.
Well, and you were talking about, you know, the fact that insurance companies will tell you, oh, you know where you need to go. I don't know. I remember the first time I had a big accident, and it was this like 20 years ago, and they had me go meet with somebody over by there, and they had an assessor go walk around the car and kind of determine. And since then, I started learning about how there are auto body shops. You can bring your car to them, and they do all the footwork for you and communicate with the insurance companies. What is the best thing to do when you've had a terrible accident?
Well, first of all, hopefully you have an association with some car person that knows what they're doing and will work with you to put you in the best position.
Hi, Warren.
How are you?
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Guy didn't clean off his windshield. What a turd, that guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Anyone saw the video? Did you see her video? Oh, my God.
I didn't see the video. I saw the photograph.
I have a video.
There's a video.
There's a video.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick story. There's this guy during the last heavy snowstorm, which lasted one day for, I don't know, 8 hours. There was a foot and a half of snow in this guy's car, and he was driving it without wiping anything off. And he ran into a friend of mine's car who's looking right at me. And she got hit by a guy who never took the time,
never.
Which would have taken 2 seconds just to clear an inch off of the windshield.
What was the explanation for that?
No.
I not move my car 2 weeks.
That's fine. I haven't.
Then don't move it. Don't drive it toward me.
But it was 45 degrees out, and everything was melting, and it could have come off in 2 seconds.
Yep.
Anyway,
it was bad.
Back to the drawing board.
Which was fun to send his insurance company.
His insurance company. Back to that. That has to do exactly with what this is about.
Yes.
The joke of wasting time.
Yes.
Time is money.
Oh, man, that was two, 3 weeks out of our time.
Took you 3 weeks out of your time for 100% liability acceptance from the insurance company.
Oh, my God.
Yep. They said to the owner of the vehicle, take some pictures and send it to me. And then,
I got your video on social media right here.
Yeah. So what they do is then they write an estimate without looking at your car based on a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in at, let's say, $900. And you were already given an estimate for $1,500 from your friend without the car being taken apart. And then when the actual repairs are done, it's $3,000.
Yeah.
What a waste of time.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Why make me jump through hoops
is your time. They're not reimbursing you for your waste.
No, my favorite thing was the insurance agent said, I called her 3 times and she didn't call me back. And then finally calls me back and says, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Your voice sounded like another one of our clients.
Huh?
So, and
we
her
can
name is
them.
Yes, or me. They had ignored my call. She'd assumed it was this other person calling again. That was right. I still have the voicemail. Oh, your voice sounded like somebody else's. So I didn't recur. It was somebody, and her name is Patricia. Well, her name is Trisha. So I just kind of combined the two.
The prep.
What?
Lady.
Yep. Ask Warren.
Yeah.
That happened.
She got totally abused.
So let me ask you guys, or do we have to go?
You can ask me this.
Okay, I want to ask you guys. Okay, so we on the top of this discussion, you talked about when your insurance company says go to XYZ and they're looking out, they're checking out, they're looking over and see what. Why do I not want to do that?
Well, they're controlling.
No,
they're controlling your destiny. They want to take your car and put on the parts that they want to put on.
At their price.
At their price.
Mm.
At their labor. So if they can. Oh, I got a classic example. A guy came in with his car last week. Oh, my God. Front end hit on a Toyota Highlander. He was given an estimate, like I said, over a photograph for $900. Somebody asked me how much it cost to fix the car.
How much did it cost to fix the car?
Funny you ask me that question. $14,000.
Come on.
No way.
Oh, no.
Way.
I was in an accident with a guy who had a Porsche Cayenne. He drove me off the road. Over $30,000 worth of damage on his car. So I'm not surprised at all.
Oh, my God.
I had a Porsche, so I was that guy.
Cayenne.
It's not unbelievable, the stuff that you see out there. I can't tell you. I see it every day.
Yeah.
And it's such the
You want to swear. I heard you catch yourself.
Help me understand. So the $900 is what the insurance shop said they'd charge them.
Yeah.
But it was actually...
$900 is what they want to get away with.
Yeah.
How many people will take the $900? The insurance company's praying that you take the check, cash it, drive away, never fix the car. Now, if you looked at this person's car, the hood was tilted away from the right side to the left.
Which is wrong.
There was a frame issue. And it was moved over an inch and a half. Now, but the car was drivable.
Mm.
Okay, so the car is twisted, it's drivable. Underneath the hood, both headlights are cracked, 2,000 a headlamp.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Radiator core support, damaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's a composite in plastic, cracked. Can't see it, but it's still held together because nuts and bolts are holding it together all over. But if it's taken apart, it falls to pieces.
Jeez. We are hanging out with Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. He's also editorial board member, gasping, because he doesn't have a car. So this is all crazy to him. This is all crazy talk.
Yeah.
You're a pedestrian.
I got more for you.
Warren C. Price, the proprietor
I may never have a car.
I don't blame you. He's the proprietor of European and U.S. Auto Body over by there. It's at on Broadway 4080 North Broadway near Irving Park Road. You can go to what website?
EuropeanUS.com.
More when we come back about what you need to do to make sure you are aware and informed on what happens when you file an insurance claim. When you have an accident, what should you do? First of all, don't get out of your car. That's my advice. Do not get out of your car. I will argue about this.
Get out of your car.
Do not get out of your car. No, don't
get
out of your car.
Get out of your car and you go to the front and away from it.
We're gonna argue more after this on 720 WGN. I've been in more accidents than you have. I feel like
I know you
process more than I have, but I've been in them. You get out of the car and more after this on 720 WGN. There is rarely a day that goes by when there is an extraordinary social commentary done by the extraordinary artist known as Scott Stantis. He is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. It's true. There's a lot going on in our world, and you filter it through so many different, so many different ideas that must jump out at you, and I don't know how you pick and choose which is the one you're going to choose every single day. But check out his work. Go to ChicagoTribune.com/Stantis.
Yes.
Follow him on Twitter at S. Stantis.
No, Scott Stantis.
Also at Scott Stantis. And you can also, if you sign up for his, you can subscribe and get his cartoons every single day.
Yeah, from GoComics.com.
Delivered to your email.
Including my comics, your Prickly City.
I love that.
And the Prickly City podcast, which is right here on WGN Plus.
That's right.
I want that information so I can do that every day.
You want to have it. And
You need to have that.
And that other voice that you hear is Warren C. Price. He's a proprietor of European and U.S. Auto Body at 4080 North Broadway,
Chicago,
over by Irving Park in Chicago. And we have questions coming in for you. We were talking about insurance claims, but you also deal with a lot of auto body. You deal with everything.
We do mechanical as well as body work.
I can attest to that because we brought in a car that you had never seen before, and you're like, who put this transmission in? And that car...
I think it was the...
What car was that?
I have a Honda Odyssey, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Maybe after our guest at 12:30. I have something to say about new cars and old cars that I learned when I had to have a rental car. But Jerry has a question. Hey, Jerry, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, I was wondering, I was thinking about doing some repair work to my vehicle, and I was wondering if, based on the weather conditions or the time of year, when would be the best time for the paint and the body repairs to set up?
Interesting.
Or is there such a time?
That's a great question.
Well, that's a good question.
I said great.
First of all, the question is what kind of car is it? Is it a show car? Is it an everyday car? Is it something that you cherish?
It's my everyday car.
Your everyday car?
Hearing about the damage on it, so I got to get it repaired sooner or later. I'm wondering if it's better to wait. Will the repair set up better if I wait?
The repairing of the setting up of the repair is negligible as far as timing goes. The work is performed indoors in controlled areas, controlled temperatures, and it's repaired under the same temperature that it would be worked on in the summer, the winter, the fall. The paint room that it would be painted in is heated at a certain temperature, and that's also in a controlled area. That wouldn't matter at all.
Warren has like a little greenhouse area for all the paint jobs. I've been in there. It's very cool.
We have two little rooms, and then we have a prep area for we have a prep area for seven cars and two spray booths. They're little ovens. They're big ovens. They hold cars. And we cook the cars at around 180 degrees. And after we paint at around 75 degrees. And it's controlled, so it doesn't really matter what time of year. It's a matter of when you have the funds to do it.
There you go. Help the help, Jerry. The help?
Thank you.
Of course. Gary, before we go to the break and news, what do you want to ask Warren?
Oh, I don't want to ask. Is this Gary? Am I on?
Yeah, Gary, you are.
Yeah, hi. No, I didn't just want to make a statement. You know, when the insurance company gives you the adjuster gives you an estimate and everything, you make sure that he puts on his estimate pending hidden damage. But, you know, it's a pending hidden damage, period. And because there's no way you can tell if there's the frame is bent anywhere by walking around it and looking at it.
Every estimate that we write and on every document that we have before we proceed with any repair states this is just a preliminary estimate. Car must be torn down, or as in other words, opened up, stripped, remove the bumper, remove the door, take the car apart, see what's below.
You made my bumper look brand new.
Well, thank you.
That sounds dirty, but it's not. More for this on 720.
You made my bumper.
I know I do. Do you enjoy artisan desserts? Maybe some wines and spirits? You have to join us in the Red Hot West Loop and the historic Randolph Street Market District at the Stephen M. Bailey Auditorium. This beautiful Beaux Arts Complex, which is known as the Plumber's Hall, will be reimagined as a chocolate artisan food and beverage tasting wonderland. Joining us in the studio are our friends Jessica and, well, let me go around the horn and introduce everybody. You are from?
I'm from Somras.
Somras? And your name is?
Lisa Leventhal.
Hey, Lisa. Get closer to your microphone so everyone can hear you. Really?
Alrighty.
There it is. So, what is your... what does your organization do as far as this wonderful chocolate and wine expo?
So we are one of the spirits that's being poured at the expo. We have two different products. We have two cream liqueurs. They're made with real Wisconsin dairy, so here in the Midwest, all natural, gluten-free. And one of them is Alfonso mango flavored, and the other one is cardamom, pistachio, almond, rose, and saffron.
I find that cardamom's not used quite nearly as much as it should. I've been using cardamom in some date desserts I've been doing. Like dates in the, you know, the little fruit.
Not dates.
Pitted?
Yes, they're not pitted. I mean, they are pitted. I get the pits out. Whatever you're trying to say, Warren, I take care of it.
De-pitted.
Okay,
yeah, de-pitted. So these are very unique tastes that you guys bring to this event. And what tell us a little bit about where the company came from as in regards to being focused on being from the Midwest, and you mentioned gluten-free.
Yeah.
Well, how is that important to the people who are consuming your wonderful tastes?
So our owners are this lovely Indian couple that live out in Burr Ridge, and they basically saw that no flavor profiles from India were being represented in the liqueur market. So our original SKU, the one that's very cardamom forward, is based on a traditional Indian dessert called rasmalai. It's kind of like a rice pudding. And the other one is based on the mango lassi. So one day they would love to have a whole line of these liqueurs that really represent different flavors from the subcontinent of India.
And how are people reacting to these flavors? Because, again, I was using cardamom and I was like, why am I not using this and so many other things?
I think people are really, really enjoying them. Usually the first flavor I kind of relate it to chai. So if you like chai tea lattes, it's kind of a really easy path there. If you just add our product to black tea, it tastes like a really light, boozy chai.
My wife just got a cardamom chai tea today, and she's left me for it.
Fair enough. I love that. I love that they're breaking into the
why
market with
laughing?
With a unique taste. Because I can see that. That's why I'm laughing.
She made a good choice.
Also joining us in studio is Jessica. Jessica, tell us a little bit about the company that you are representing at the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo.
So we are Cocoa Cravings, and we are an organic and vegan, actually, company and facility. And we will be having our chocolates. We're going to have different, you know, variations of cocoa and what it represents. We'll have different levels of dark chocolate. Sitting in front of me is the 55%, 65%, and 71% dark chocolate chunks. And then we also have drinking chocolates, which are pure cocoa. They're very simple, very, very light. You're enjoying one right now.
Right. So this is a non-alcoholic beverage, which is it's like a hot chocolate with peppermint, but it's not a hot chocolate. It's not the same thing. It has a more rich taste to it than you might expect from a hot chocolate.
It definitely does. Excuse me. And that's because in our drinking chocolate, we actually add semi-sweet vegan morsels, so that's where that richness is going to come from. So it's not just straight cocoa.
Right.
And it's very different than the American-style cocoa that you would normally enjoy. It's a lot less sweet and just a lot more pure. There's no filler ingredients in it, so it's just all very, actually, healthy ways to indulge in chocolate.
Jessica, I'm sorry, I have to jump in here and ask, what is a vegan morsel?
So vegan morsels...
It's a healthy choice.
But a lot of dark chocolates are actually vegan just because they don't have dairy involved in them. That's why they are dark chocolates. But yeah, that's pretty much just what it means. It's a dairy-free dark chocolate.
By the way, we have a texture. Shannon says, I went to the event last year and tried the pistachio rose liqueur, and it was so delicious. So there you have a testimony from one of our listeners. Everyone can go to the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo April 21st and 22nd at the Stephen M. Bailey Auditorium at Plumbers Hall, which is at 1340 West Washington Boulevard.
Free parking.
Is there free parking?
It says free parking. You can't be free.
Well, now I'm all in. I love that it's in bold. You're right. It's in bold. Everyone's like, okay, I got your chocolate, and I'm all in on the beverages. Oh, there's free parking.
Free parking. I'm there.
Then I'm showing up.
Oh, you betcha.
What's the website people can go? Oh, here it is. It's gourmetexpos.com. So that's where you can get more information, find out about tickets, and there's going to be just a wonderful, there's going to be 100% of the wine and spirits tasting net proceeds are in the donation from each ticket benefits Holiday Heroes, bringing joy to hospitalized children. You can attend complimentary demonstrations and pairings. Chefs and chocolatiers will be available, giving you demos and showing you some of the great ways they find to pair. Do you find yourself wondering what goes with this?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
Because when it comes to wine, I don't know how you guys are. Do you read the label and go, oh, this has berries and chocolate. I'm all in on this. Do you have criteria for reading the side of a wine bottle?
Usually just how high the alcohol percent is.
I got sneered at in Paris for the first time.
For wine alcohol
content? We were outside, and I ordered fish, and then I wanted a red wine with it. And the waitress literally went,
There's no sneering when there's...
You're American, they said.
Yes. Yeah.
You get to enjoy what you enjoy. How about you, Jessica? Do you have any preferences when it comes to pairing things?
I actually spent 15 years as a chef before I did this, so I learned a little bit about, you know, what wines should generally go with certain things, but over the years I've definitely just kind of learned what I like and stick with that.
How do you put this in your sort of, you know, the grand experience of being a chef for 15 years? Did you leave that because of any particular sort of pace or, you know, the attitude towards chefs is so inconsistent, right? We raise chefs up to this, you know, put them on a pedestal and like, oh, we worship you because you're on television or, you know, you do all these great things. But the pace at which and the amount of hours chefs put in, I don't think is appreciated for bringing pleasure to people in vast numbers.
It's certainly a double-edged sword. It's exactly what you said, but it's also just such a fun thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And you are correct about the pace.
In
a lot of cases, is a young person's game. I just wanted to try something different and see a different side of the industry, as it were.
And you have to have a hunger for it.
Yeah.
You have to want to show up. What has brought you to this experience in life, Lisa?
So I actually came across the product that when it first came out. I used to live in San Francisco, and one day I was tasting like 20 different things, and it was the only thing that really struck with
Why were you tasting 20 different things?
I was a buyer for...
Okay, there you go. So that was your profession.
That was my profession. Okay. I ran a program in San Francisco, and it was the only thing that really...
Stood out?
Yeah, out of the whole panel. And I didn't know, actually, that they were based in Chicago, and I've had a lot of correspondence with the COO via email, you know, just sharing recipes and different things and applications, and I ran into her in Chicago when I moved here, and very serendipitously, I recognized her name, and we reconnected, and I was like, this is, like, my calling. I love this product, and that's kind of
I'm confused on a lot of levels.
There's a thing. There's a moment when you like try something, you enjoy something, and then to like go and work for that person and be a part of the process. It's kind of spectacular.
Actually, the part about moving from San Francisco to Chicago. Did you expect snow in April?
Oh, come on.
I didn't expect snow in April, but
it gets cold in San Francisco. It's not all it's credit to be. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's 50 degrees all the time and foggy.
Yeah.
So.
It's not that great. It's a nice city.
There's nothing to shovel.
They've got good seafood.
Chinatown's great.
It's very hilly.
Chowder in a sourdough bowl? Are you kidding me?
I can get that at plenty of restaurants in Chicago. Do you like Chicago?
I love Chicago.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I love Chicago,
all
too.
Right? I'm not asking you.
All right.
Jessica, where... Jessica, where are you from originally?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Have you ever lived anywhere else?
For 1 year, I lived in New York while I was finishing my culinary degree.
That seems like enough.
Institute of America. So
yeah, you and I seem like people were like, you know what? Enough
I'm
with
good.
This.
I'm good.
I'm done with this. Where else have you lived besides San Francisco and Chicago?
Miami and Orlando.
So you've been around. Oh, a couple of Florida towns.
Yeah, East Coast, West Coast. I grew up in Florida.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good question on did you expect snow in April, though?
Thank you. I had it all done.
I imagine. I know that you like Chicago.
We need more snow in April.
I love Chicago.
It's better for my business.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
So people get more accidents, by the way, when it's warmer out. You know that?
Yes, they are.
Because you know why? Because they feel incredibly safe and carefree. They're just letting the air out of the tires.
So
just,
here in Chicago,
down
you feel the
drive.
Danger and you drive safe.
There's more bicycles. There's more motorcycles. Everybody's out carefree.
Well, everyone can be carefree.
They're at the chocolate wine.
Exactly. Thing. See, you know what I was doing there.
Yes,
at the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo, April 21st and 22nd at the Stephen M. Bailey Auditorium at Plumbers Hall, 1340 West Washington Boulevard, right here in Chicago. You can go to gourmetexpos.com for the participants in the event.
Free
and
parking.
Tickets. And there's free parking in bold typing. So we're going to talk more with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. By the way, the tickets benefit Holiday Heroes, bringing joy to hospitalized children. So you're
how
enjoying
cool
a great
that?
Event. You're learning more about this incredible world, and you're doing a good thing. More to this on 720
free
WGN. Free parking. Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo is coming up on April 21st and 22nd, just right around the corner. It's going to be at the Stephen M. Bailey Auditorium at Plumbers Hall, which is, you want to know where that is, it's 1340 West Washington Boulevard over by there. Again, Saturday, April 21st from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., Sunday, Sunday, April the 22nd at 11 a.m. to, I know, I was reading all the numbers at the same time, Scott, stop it.
Do you know what else there is there?
What else there is there?
Free parking.
There's free parking over by there. I know. I don't know. How do they manage the free parking? Are we familiar with this, Jessica? How they have free parking?
I was there last year and it was free. It's just a big parking lot and
get it.
Yep, pretty much.
You know, go to the
you
event.
You don't get free parking in this town ever. Ever.
I'm saying. I don't even need to do anything in a neighborhood. If I see a parking spot open, I jump in it and I'm like, now what do? I'm going to explore this neighborhood because there was a free parking spot.
And adopt a family.
I'm moving into this neighborhood. So the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo features so many great artisans and folks that are making great chocolates and foods. Some are non-alcoholic. Many are non-alcoholic. Tastes from just incredible, every walk of life. These great creations from people who have just this passion for trying something new. And Jessica, I know that you're the woman that you are working with, or the company that you work with, they were in studio, I think, 2 years ago, and some of the most remarkable tastes that I've ever had the opportunity to share with our listeners and invite them to this expo. How would you explain or describe what it means to, you mentioned vegan, why is it important to know what is in your chocolate? Because we're all very kind of unconsciously eating things sometimes.
It's
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're all guilty of it, too. But it's very important to just know what you're putting in your body and how it can benefit you. One of the big philosophies of our company is to make sure that, you know, everything that you're going to consume or eat or use is going to benefit you in some way, either, you know, health-wise, even mentally. Mm-hmm. Chocolate can help you just be a little bit happier.
And it's supposed to be, dark chocolate's supposed to be good for your heart, too.
It is. It
there are benefits to it as well. And when you're not using dairy, one of the things I learned a while ago, my mom and I were shopping for chocolate, and this gentleman showed us how much sugar, refined sugar, is added when you don't really need it for good quality chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we don't really taking into consideration when we're eating that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the reactions that I've had from people with our drinking chocolate is because we use coconut sugar in our drinking chocolate, mm-hmm. and not a lot of it. So it's not going to be like Swiss Miss. And some people are almost taken aback by that, but then they realize that it's such a smooth and clean taste that you don't really miss it. And if you really want to sweeten it up a bit, you're more than welcome to put some more sugar in it.
You do not need to sweeten this up at all, guys.
I don't think so, but...
No.
That would be blasphemous, perfect. I think.
The only thing you need to do is, when you're drinking it, have Girl Scout Thin Mints, so you could, you know, the extra chocolate.
And the name of the company again, Jessica?
Is Coco Cravings.
Coco Cravings. And Lisa, you are with?
Somrus.
Somrus? Mm-hmm. How do we spell that? Come on, closer to your microphone.
Somrus.
And these are liqueurs that people have really never had exposure to, I don't think.
Yeah.
You're saying how unique these flavors are.
Mm-hmm. For example, Alfonso mango is indigenous to India. And similarly, like, to piggyback off what Jessica just said, when people taste mango for the first time, I think they're taken aback a little bit because of the all-natural real products that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And I even was the first time I tried it. I realized that my palate had become so accustomed to, like, that fake mango flavor that that gets added to food. I was like, well, that's what the mango tastes like. And I was like, oh, no, Alfonso mango, Somrus Alfonso mango is what an actual mango tastes like. And it's just so different when you, like, realize that that's the kind of product that you should be having.
Oh, they smell amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, well, because I often think of mango as, like, my chapstick flavor. And that's not what you're supposed to. It's like thinking that a flavor like strawberry is a starburst,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not
exactly
like that. It's that pure flavor.
Mm-hmm.
What would you pair like some of these liqueurs with?
Mango. I make mango margaritas.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Like all day, every day.
Yeah. Mango's my favorite.
Yeah, mango's delicious. Pina coladas, mango pina coladas, mm-hmm. Mango Ramos Fizz.
So are there some of the demos that I know that you're going to have, you know, booths and tables where people can stop by? And it's great to talk to the artisans and find out, one, what goes into the work, the craftsmanship of discovering these tastes, but also how you can incorporate them in entertaining and trying out different things. It's really about exploring what you enjoy. You know, I mean, it really life is about enjoying yourself, and taste is such a big part of that, you know, just sort of bathing in it. What do you want people to experience when they go to the Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo? Tell me, Lisa, what do you want people to discover about themselves and about the artisans?
I want them to try something new.
Yeah.
Something that they've never tasted before, whether it be, you know, you're drinking chocolate or, you know, our products or anything at the expo, really. Exposing yourself to something that maybe you would have never tried before.
What do you hope people will experience, Jessica?
To possibly not see, you know, vegan products as something to be afraid of, or, mm-hmm. you know, almost lesser, and to just kind of be able to taste something very natural and very pure and how it should taste.
I agree. I think that when you see the words vegan, you shouldn't see that as it should mostly be an alert to those who are being true to the lifestyle they choose, and for everybody else to go, this is cool too. You know, not as sort of a barrier to enjoying something. Don't you think, Scott?
No, it can totally be yummy.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
My daughter, Lily, she has gone to be, she's a vegetarian and mm-hmm. vegan now. And for me, I mean, as a carnivore, I mean, I like was afraid. I don't want to taste this. I don't know what it's going to taste like. It's a fear or lack of knowledge, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's very okay.
Esmeralda, because of the Whole 30, I was trying to find different ways to make desserts for myself, and that's why I was talking about the pitted dates.
Uh-huh.
And so Esmeralda, I would put them and put dates into a blender with cardamom and walnuts and cinnamon. I might have used too much cinnamon. I'll be honest with you. That was a bit rough.
No,
that was a bit,
it can happen.
That was a bit much. You can go overboard. But Esmeralda, you were on the Whole 30. Did you find yourself trying to find different ways to enjoy what would be considered sweets? You don't like desserts that much. You're not like
a
chocolate gal.
No, I don't like desserts, but you're not supposed to do that.
The date balls with walnuts and cinnamon and cardamom?
Yeah, you're technically not supposed to do things like that because it's,
I know. It simulates the idea that you need desserts.
Yeah.
Wait, no date balls?
No date balls.
Life's not worth living.
No walnut balls. No date balls.
No balls? Yeah.
No balls. You're not supposed to do smoothies because you're not chewing, and that makes you conscious of what you're consuming as well.
Ah, so that's anything part of the 30.
The Whole 30, yeah. Esmeralda was very true to it. I obviously am having pizza tonight.
The 30 starts on Monday.
We're doing the 30 again
on
Monday.
We're doing the 30 on Monday.
I don't know. I'm going to D.C., and I have a friend who works for the State Department.
You're not going to start.
She's staying in her job because she's like, this is how Nazi Germany started. So I'm not going to. She wants to go. She messaged me.
On the Whole 30.
I have to tell you this story yesterday, she messaged me, and she goes, hey, I'm at the bar. Did you want to have a table? And I was like, oh, sweetie, it's next week. I'm going to be in D.C. next week. She was so looking forward to hanging out with me. She thought Wednesday was.
She started drinking a week ahead of time.
She's getting warmed up.
She's like, everyone's leaving. I need to bring some of this for her in D.C. She's a captive in the State Department.
Absolutely.
D.C. I want to thank our friends, Lisa and Jessica, who are here to talk about the Chocolate, Wine, and Spirits Expo. Again, that's April 21st and 22nd at the Stephen M. Bailey Auditorium at Plumbers Hall, 1340 West Washington Boulevard. And Scott, what's available?
Free parking.
All the free parking that you possibly have. Go to Gourmet
Expo. Park it free. Just do it.
Go to GourmetExpos.com. There are going to be demonstrations. You can have conversations with the artisans who put together some amazing tastes. And I wish you both the very best. Thank you so much. Again, the companies that you work for and their websites?
Coco Cravings, and it's CocoCravings.com.
Excellent. And Lisa?
And then Somras and Somras.com. And if you go to our social media, you can also get discounted tickets as well.
And Somras is spelled S-O-M-R-U-S.
That's correct.
And I have in my hands a couple of the bottles that I will be enjoying after the show tonight.
Awesome.
So thank you very much for these treats. The peppermint chocolate was delicious, non-alcoholic, in my wine glass. Just want to go ahead and show that around the room. Have a lovely evening. Let's get a photo before you go.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you both at the expo. Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. Our mix master, Michael Heidemann, behind the glass in the producer's booth. He is playing some music that my guest, Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, editorial board member, and Warren C. Price, proprietor of European and U.S. Auto Body, are just having a great time commenting on. I'm not
familiar. This should be our national anthem.
It's David Bowie, yeah.
It should be our national anthem.
David Bowie? That sounds...
Yeah.
Young American.
Okay. I don't know anything about music. Have I mentioned that before?
No.
That's I've gone into great detail about the fact that I don't know who sings what. I could not start singing the beginning of that song. And if I did, I might, like, somewhere in the middle be like, yeah, I know this song. But I would not have known it was David.
All you have to do is move your head, bounce a little.
Can you play a little more of that? Can you play a bed a little bit, Michael, when you get a chance to sort of lay that underneath so we can enjoy it a little bit more?
There we go, yeah.
Sing me a little bit. Go ahead.
I got to wait
for
the cue.
But it might never have a cue. It might just be it's just a sound. It's just
the for the bummer.
Yeah. It's just the instrumental.
Oh, this is just music.
Now you got to sing. You got to sing on your own.
No, I'm not going
to
sing.
She took her arms, laid her down.
My
life's a funny thing, is what she says when he lays her down.
I don't know what's happening right now.
That's the lyric.
That's the lyric.
Beautiful singing.
That was my William Shatner. He took her babies.
Well done, Michael.
I did something I've never done in my entire life. Ever, never, ever, in my entire life.
That's a high bar.
I drove to the south side of Chicago today to join the festivities of the White Sox home opener. We started off at Cork and Kerry. I want to say hi to Tracy. I'm so glad I got there. I got there later than I intended to. I wanted to get there before John Williams was done with his broadcast. He interviewed Ron Kittle, whose story is fascinating. I had no idea. Really? John Williams was talking about how was interviewing
the Skittles.
The Skittles. No, but Ron Kittle's dad basically came up to him when he was like 17, when he was out of high school. He's like, "You're not going to college. Here's get a job at the steel mill, whatever, manufacturing, grunt work,
light toaster,
work hard." And then not long after that, he's like, "Hey, the Dodgers are having an open tryout. Why don't you go try out for them?" Kittle hits home run after home run, gets picked up by the Dodgers, and then in his first game, the catcher, when he's sliding into home, the catcher basically sits on him in a position that breaks Kittle's back. Right?
I didn't know that.
First major league game.
First major league game. So when he comes back to Dollars. The way, I mean, like, he gets a do-over. What an incredible story. Yeah, I mean, I like Ron Kittle
being
with.
From an injury like that? Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was break his neck or break his back.
He had quite a career.
It was a debilitating injury, they thought. They thought his career was over, and he was able to get stronger, come back, and then try out again for the, and he wasn't even trying out for the White Sox. He was just, like, doing batting practice, and he, like, smashed a ball, like, over 500, whatever. It broke. Yeah. I don't know if it was yards or feet. I'm like, I don't want to.
It's 500 lots of things.
And they came over and they're like, "Who just hit that home run?" And
I did. I can't believe what I'm about to ask you.
Yes.
Because this seems weird coming out of my mouth to you.
Because I'm a Cubs fan?
Are you becoming a Sox fan?
No. I like Ron Kittle. No. I like
it's
Ron
a great
Kittle.
Story.
I loved Ron Kittle when I was a kid. When he would hit it out of Sox Park, out of Comiskey. I mean, he would hit it over.
It's still Comiskey.
Over the stands. Yes. Over the stands. Over the roof. I mean, they would.
The roof shot is tough.
Again and again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Ron Kittle. I'm going to forget. There's some other. Look, I'm a Cubs fan. I liked a lot of the Sox. I like Frank Thomas, but Carlton Fisk. I like Carlton Fisk.
Carlton Fisk was all great. Right.
He was great. How do you not love Carlton Fisk? One of the greatest catchers of all time.
Great story.
I'm a Cubs fan, but the hard thing was going into. I walk into Cork and Kerry. First of all, I'm driving to the South Side. I get a little tense when I'm on that when 90-94 goes.
Well, it's dangerous.
No, it's not dangerous.
You were talking about the
for a Northsider and a Cubs fan. You don't go and say I'm a Cubs fan. Yes. So you have that, like, massively, you have that incline. Now you're, like, eight stories
curving,
above the city.
Left and right.
I get
big inclines in Chicago.
I get palpitations. No, but the ramps are, the expressways built
the ramps.
Up.
They're built over.
How high up would you say that
five
is?
Five stories,
right? I get uncomfortable. I'm not a fan.
It's a lot.
Everything on the north side is ground level for the most part, except when you're, like, except for where they mess up Western Avenue
it's fixed.
I know, they got rid of that. There used to be a spot on Western Avenue at Roscoe where there was like a bridge over like the side streets.
Yeah.
And people would be launched into the air because they would take that hit, that incline too fast. And I almost got an apartment there, and the people were very honest. They're like, yeah, every night. You hear people crashing into that cement barrier every single night. Anyway.
They ended up in Jewel.
And at European and U.S. Autobody.
Okay, I'm loving it. Keep crashing them, folks. Bring them over.
Bring them over. Yeah. Warren's going to miss that overpass over by there. So I walk into Cork and Kerry now. Michael, have you, you've grown up north of Chicago, so I'm guessing more Cubs
fans. Very
fans.
North.
Yeah.
Very north, but some of the first games I've ever went to were at Sox Comiskey Park,
yeah.
So I have that connection to them.
So I had never, the only seats I've ever had in Comiskey at Sox Park were the part that they call the climbing wall. Right, so there are seats where you have to, like, climb vertically.
Let's call them affordable.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to those seats before, and they've been fine. I mean,
there's
like
a lot of empty seats.
That's the thing, is it's very quiet by there.
It's very quiet.
Yes. So now the WGN is the flagship station for the Chicago White Sox.
It's going to work.
It's a little different.
Fill the stands.
It's a little different.
WGN
it's very exciting. But here's what I need Sox fans to understand. We are all in. This station is your station. We are so excited to be a part of the empire that is the Chicago White Sox. I might not be a Chicago White Sox fan, but I love baseball. And what I saw today, at least in the first three or four innings before I left, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say it's not my my fault that once I left, the Sox started losing. Not my fault.
They were still winning.
It was snowing when I left,
okay,
which seemed like a good time to leave, Scott. I'm just
welcome to Chicago.
When it snows, isn't that a good time to leave a baseball game?
It's absolutely the best time.
I was sitting there with Brian Noonan, Sox fan. Ernie, one of our engineers, Sox fan.
Did you have a Sox, any regalia?
I was wearing exactly what you see right now.
Whoa.
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks. Go Hawks!
I was wearing my station colors.
Okay.
Is what I was wearing.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But Cork and Kerry was the most unique situation. So, you know when
Tell
people...
Tell me about that place, because
Have you ever walked into a place and you just knew right away you didn't belong? Whether it's ethnically
yes.
or
oh,
socially?
Yes.
You just walk in and you're like, no, what have I done? That's what it felt like when I walked into Cork and Kerry. I walked in and it was wall to wall. Sox fans, everybody was wearing a Sox hat.
And everyone turned and looked at you and said...
It felt that way, like they knew. Like everyone looked at me and I was like, I don't... Because I'm like cheerful and smiling and they're all like... They have a game face. Sox fans come ready as though they're going to play. Like that seems like the difference between Cubs fans and Sox fans.
Yeah,
like
Cubs fans came, they're going to party, they're going to leave in the seventh inning.
Cubs fans are there to play.
Yeah, which is my scene,
Sox
I guess.
Cubs fans are there to play.
Like, I show up at a Cubs bar and I'm like, hey, I mean, I know at least a third of the people in the bar. I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. I went to Lane Tech. I know some of the bar owners. I walk in, I'm like, Patty, hey, Bridget, it's Kevin. It's like, I see all my friends. I walked into Cork and Carrot. I'm like, I've walked into the wrong place.
New beginning, Patty.
I don't belong
new
here.
Beginning.
Was it like record scratch?
It was it is a great neighborhood bar. Like, that's the kind of joint I would hang out in my neighborhood.
All right.
Let's all go to a game together and go there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all in.
Let's go.
And the other thing is, what a clean and beautiful park it is. Guarantee
it's
Rate gorgeous, Park. Yeah. The Sox Park
is
new and pretty. I love Wrigley. I'm not going to put Comiskey above Wrigley. It's just not going to happen.
It's
but
a beautiful stadium.
I was sitting there with Noonan, and we were along the first base line, and there's like this area that it's just like these big sort of like staggered blocks, and I was like, is that like a water feature? What is that? And it's their apparently it's like their greenery, but it hasn't grown in yet. So now it's just
it's
like
their
these
brownery.
It's their right now. It's their brownery, and I was like, what's going on over by there? What's this over here?
They
have a family area. Do you know on Sundays they
you
have
know
family?
What you're talking like you've gone to a foreign country.
I
you are.
Let me tell you,
it's like she went to Liechtenstein.
Yes. So it's a very strange place. It's very it's somewhat magical and strange. It is definitely an altar to baseball. They did a lot of baseball stuff right. I mean,
do they speak English there?
They do.
Is it same
I think
time zone?
There's some spitting.
Strike
there's more
one,
spitting.
Strike two.
The
strike
swearing
three.
Is a little more
elevated.
Aggressive.
Yes, I would say that there's a lot of swearing in both. I mean, there's a lot of swearing in baseball. There might not be crying, but there's definitely swearing
yes. well,
in baseball.
Well, I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what makes it holy.
Yeah, I guess. I was sitting there and
they
like
say God a lot.
People. That's another way to say MF-er, I guess. that was a word I heard a lot today. I was like, all right, go ahead and unfurl that one on game opener. But it was really fun. They have a lot of great food. I didn't stop for any food because
what?
I'm on. I knew that
the 30.
I knew
the
that war
food at Comiskey is the best.
Well, they have a Cuban burger. They had all these like different brats.
Is
they
the
have
Cuban
chicken.
Fresh?
Oh, right off the
you
boat.
Mean, are they,
more after this on 720 WGN.
Chicken's pinch.
Night is the last game for the Chicago Blackhawks and for the season.
Regular home season. Home game.
Oh, is it it's not the last game of the season?
Name another game on the road?
Yeah.
I did sound a little preemptive right there with
this one at home. They're not going to the playoffs. So.
You know, I guess because, and we were mentioning this before the break, I am a lifelong Cubs fan. Being the fan of a team that might have a losing season, it's just not unfamiliar to me. It's very comfortable territory. I don't know what to tell you. I know Justin Kaufman looked kind of inconsolable when I walked in and the White Sox had lost to the Tigers in extra innings after having been ahead for a few innings. I was like, you're going to be okay.
It's trust me on this.
It's just the beginning of the season.
It's the beginning of the season. Yeah.
The coach said, forget about it, guys. Let's go on. Yeah. No big deal. We're going to win the rest of the game.
How many people here have ordered their Scott Foster jerseys?
Oh, now, what's happening to Scott Foster, by the way?
He won't give interviews. He's done.
So that was it? They're not using him again?
Well, you want to hear something weird?
I would love hearing weird
things. I had no idea that apparently the NHL brings someone into the stadium every night. And when you have two guys, your two goalies, if they get knocked down, there's someone in the house who can fill in. So potentially this guy could have come in. Scott Foster could have gone in for, I think they were playing the Winnipeg Jets, right?
They were playing the Jets, yeah.
So he could have gone in for the Winnipeg, but he went in. This guy, he just had worked a full day as an accountant and came to the stadium, and they put him in the game.
And he blocked like seven shots.
Seven shots great. Against a team that's going to the playoffs.
Right. Because the Hawks beat St. Louis.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Think about this. This is, I mean, what a great story. Number 90. I want this jersey
bad.
If the Hawks want to send me one, I will take it.
He said, I want no more interviews because of my family and my job.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means he doesn't want to be disturbed. He's having a good time doing what he's doing, and he doesn't
want... Seven stopped shots against an NHL playoff team. He will get more if he gave interviews.
I respect him.
I think it's dumb.
I have a listener that...
Well, here we go.
I think we have a listener that's going to combine... We have a listener that's going to combine two segments. We were talking earlier about the wooden leg on display in the Illinois State Military Museum in Springfield. It belongs to Santa Anna from the Mexican Army during the Mexican-American War. An Illinois infantry group, these soldiers, stumbled upon his picnic, and before he had a chance to reattach his leg and escape, they were able to get his leg. It is now ours. Texas wants it back.
Did they get his food?
I don't know if they got the basket. I wonder what he was eating.
Anyone?
Come and get a Texas.
I'm guessing there was some tequila, my friend. I'm just saying.
Tequila? Okay.
And then we were also talking about my experience going into the White Sox fandom.
I was like
Cork and Kerry. It was surreal for me, and it was wonderful, and it was chaotic, and it was, I'm glad that I did it, and I can't wait to go back again. I will say this. I cannot wear Sox apparel. It would be inauthentic, and I think that Sox fans would not appreciate if I even wore Sox colors because it's not right. It's not genuine.
Let's get tickets to the Cubs Sox
game. Oh, I'm all over that. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna.
I don't know about that. That seems dangerous. But Mike wants to combine, I think, a couple of these segments. Hey, Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How about you, Patty?
I'm very happy. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you want to share with us.
Well, Bill Veeck, the former owner of the Chicago White Sox, who created the exploding scoreboard, he had a wooden leg. He was a Marine, and he lost it as a Marine in World War II.
Right.
And so he had a wooden leg, and it used to be on display at a bar in Chicago Ridge.
No.
Outside.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like Illinoisans
in Austin.
Illinoisans are a little bit morbid, aren't we, Mike, when it comes to the wooden leg?
Carve it and make it a baseball bat.
What were you going to say, Bill? Go ahead. I mean, sorry, Mike, what were you going to say?
Well, morbid, I guess, but I guess Bill Veeck was more morbid because he would take it off and use it as an ashtray.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Chicago is normal. Totally normal.
Totally makes sense. Weren't they going to make a movie about Bill Veeck? I know Bill Murray really wanted to make a movie about Bill Veeck. I wonder if it ever happened to that story. It would be that's a good movie. You got baseball. You got Chicago.
You got a crazy promoter guy.
I'm saying. Remember when he made them wear the shorts? Remember, weren't they wearing shorts one season?
Yes, they wore shorts.
And with collars.
Yeah. By the way, Mike,
imagine sliding into home base.
Yeah, there's some nice burns you got going on. Mike, can I ask you a question? You've been listening for the last half hour. Do I strike you as somebody who is going full out and rah-rah for the White Sox?
Well, you know, there is that great divide between Cubs fans and Sox fans.
I have been very clear that I love my Chicago Cubs. I also love baseball. We're getting a texter who's very upset that they're tired of the radio personalities getting on the White Sox bandwagon and going on and on about the park. I can like a park. I also like Fenway. I also like Kansas City. They got a nice water feature.
AT&T Park in San Francisco is awesome.
I am a dyed-in-the-wool White Cubs fan. Chicago Cubs fan my entire life.
You almost said White Sox.
I did almost say that. You know why? Because I'm like, where's my paycheck come from? But WGN has not... I'm a WGN fan. No, WGN has been very supportive of the fact that I'm not going to wear White Sox stuff. So you can go ahead and go to my Facebook page, everybody.
Yeah,
scroll down and you'll see me standing in a sea of White Sox gear wearing my Cubs shirt and my hat, and I'm all Cubs.
Let me guarantee
every single
anybody
day of the week.
Who's texting right now, anybody who thinks otherwise, if you pricked Patty's finger, it would
cubby
bleed
blue. Yeah.
Cubby blue.
Here's what I'm getting.
I have a better idea. Text and have an accident and bring your car to European U.S. Car Service.
It is very depressing listening to all the hoopla about the Sox and how wonderful their park is on a station that was home to the Cubs for eons. Bad enough. I have to change stations to listen to my favorite Cubs. Now I have to listen to my favorite... Okay, you know what? They're saying that we're their favorite radio personality. That's not the way how they're sounding. But I assure you, if you feel sickened, I am excited about baseball. And
yes.
I was excited to go to a baseball game today. The Cubs have not played at home yet. I will be at their home opener on Monday.
It's going to snow.
It's going to snow, and I'll be there too. But I'm all in on the Cubs, but I'm all in on the fact that we are now the flagship station for the Chicago White Sox. Baseball is back on WGN, and that's amazing too. I'm sorry, everybody. That's how it works.
Comiskey is a great park.
I'm a diehard Sox fan, but... You know, I appreciate, the Cubs, and, I'm glad that they finally won the World Series, so I don't have to hear those fans complain about, 119 years or 128 years or whatever it was.
It was 108. It was 108. It was 108. I'm just saying it was 108.
Oh, okay. All right. That's it?
Yes, it was only 108. It was 108.
Mike, can I jump in here and just say, here's the thing. I was a kid. I was born in San Diego. I went to the San Diego Padres, their very first Major League Baseball game in 1969. Dave Winfield, a 19-year-old, was playing first base.
Oh, my God.
It's a true story.
Oh, my God.
So, by the way, how many World Series in their entire history have the Padres won?
None.
What?
Thank you.
None?
How many have they been in?
Two. And they've won one game and two World Series. They've won one game against Detroit, and they got swept by the Yankees.
Crushed.
Steve Garvey.
I know.
Steve Garvey.
I know the 84. Right. The 84 Padres.
All right.
Oh, that's right. He was traded from L.A.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because I mentioned this before you called in. Don't you think it would be disingenuous of me to, unless I lose a bet, it would be wrong and sacrilegious for me to wear, both to you and my team, to wear White Sox colors?
Yes.
Yes.
And you're very brave for wearing Cubs gear to a Sox game.
So we're going to go do that.
Yes, we will go do that.
I'll wear my Padres.
I like your integrity with sticking by your Cubs fandom.
Yep. So. I'm all the way true blue. Thank you so much, Mike. It was so great to hear your voice. Have a wonderful evening. We'll talk to you again soon, okay? Spring is coming sooner or later. I promise it's coming. I know it's snowing right now in Chicago. It's icy. It's right around the corner. And I have a question for your fashion choices when it comes to warm weather. There is a new fashion statement out there, and I wonder if Michael maybe saw this in Austin, Texas, when he was at South by Southwest. Did you, by any chance, Michael, happen to lay your eyes on something called cowboy sandals?
Cowboy sandals.
I hope that this is something that's...
What is that?
My mind is leaning one way, but what are these things?
Yeah. You can show off your piggies, but still have the cozy comfort of sweaty ankles by wearing... So it's open-toe cowboy boots. Esmeralda, this... Oh, she's not in the thing. So she's not in the traffic hut, but...
She's in a helicopter right now.
It's basically open-toe cowboy boots.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense at all.
It's stupid.
When you want to kick a rattler?
You apparently use your heel. Because that's sweatily
covered. I lived out west, and cowboy boots are like the best. They make the most sense in terms of footwear. They just make all the sense in the world. Open toe?
Open toe.
No.
By the way, you can take your existing pair of cowboy boots that you love and make them into cowboy sandals.
No.
Yeah, we should start a company that does the conversion.
You know what? If I could turn people's ugly toes into presentable items, I don't show my toes off until they're fully ready.
When are they ready?
When they've been well manicured.
Cut,
when
trimmed.
Yeah, they've been cut, trimmed. There's been a lot of
what color?
It depends. Right now, I'm sporting a nice gold, like a metallic gold.
Really? Oh, okay.
Because, you know, when it chips, it's not as noticeable. I'm a very cherry red, fire engine red.
I was actually thinking more of a dark blackberry red.
You know, I've wanted to blackberry. What is that? What's wrong?
No, he's still talking about your toes.
I know. What would you like to talk about? The open toe cowboy boots?
Well, I'm just wondering what your toes look like.
Without it?
Without makeup.
Well, cowboys would wear them brown.
Just not fun. I mean, manicures, pedicures make your toes look fun and festive and ready for display.
Huh?
If they're just like, you know, your regular, it's not, I don't know, it's fine. They're fine.
All right. See, I don't know.
I was hanging out with a friend of mine in Los Angeles, and he had his feet up on a coffee table, and I had to look away because he had a lot going on that
Did he have his toes painted?
But like,
the opposite.
They were frayed and gnarly.
Put on his toenails.
Well, that's a weird thing. Have you ever seen women who have like?
No.
Where they have like these? There are women who grow them out, or they have extensions.
What do you mean? Sure.
Sure.
This guy knows more about feet than we. Okay.
Yeah. I have twin daughters.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Michael, are you familiar with people adding extensions onto their toe gear?
Are you talking like acrylic toenails?
Yeah,
yes.
There are people who do acrylic toenails extensions. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay,
overlays.
Kind of, sort of, Cheetos. A little bit of a different subject. I was, you know, we're moving out of the tower, so I'm trying to get.
Stop talking about it. I talk about it all the time.
You've seen my office. I have a ton of stuff.
How is that bathroom moving in every day from above?
Yeah, my ceiling is. Yeah. My ceiling is collapsing into my office. Some of it smells like Dookie because I'm right below the men's room on the floor.
You know, there's a reason they put you there.
A pair de moi, as my father would say.
A pair de moi.
But anyway.
So, we're moving.
Yeah.
The bathroom is moving into your office.
Yes.
Far before you're ready to leave the building.
Yeah. So I have no idea where I was going with this.
You were going with toenails and appearances, aesthetics.
I can't remember.
I know, it's all my fault.
Yeah, you totally sidetracked this and like now
right, let's
it's
go back.
The dookie on your desk
Cowboys
is a hard thing to cover up.
Okay. We can go back.
Acrylic nails.
1973. We can just keep going back.
You were talking about moving.
Yes.
I was 21.
You found something? Did you find something in the move?
No.
Is there something in the...
Oh, yes. Because, okay, so I'm moving. Okay. So,
there we go.
And then, okay, so at night I'm starting to pack stuff away. I look down on my floor. There is...
No.
Yes, there is.
No.
Yes, there is.
No.
Yes. A false nail from somebody's, some part, either the finger or the toe. Now, I'm just... Now, my you've been
did
to my
come
office.
From the ceiling?
It's... Maybe. The fact is... I mean, my office is in a nice little corner, and so the cleaning women, I think, use it to relax. But somebody somewhere lost a nail in my office.
Generator failure. Left engine oil pressure.
Oh, dude, you don't think I was freaking out?
Oil pressure.
I'm just saying.
What
Seriously,
color was it?
I don't know if
bright
I
red.
This.
Bright red.
You know what I would do with that? I would just walk into the bathroom and go like this.
Yeah. What else can you do?
Make sure the lid is down.
No, I'm not going to say these are men, so the seat's not down.
Do you feel like doing this every day now in your office? Just getting a vacuum.
No, but every day I look up at the ceiling and there's more of it is looking like it's sagging and about to.
Sounds like me in the mirror.
You came by and you saw it, right? I mean,
yes.
I'm not kidding. It's.
I was waiting for this.
There's a constant flow of. Of ceilings.
Not inspiration.
Leaving the building here.
Next thing you know, you're going to see the sky.
I was sitting there one time and literally heard in a chunk of the ceiling, which had been browned and had fallen on my floor. Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Scott. Because no, you don't. By the way, we've been in studio on the air and had jackhammering going on beneath us. There are moments, Michael, don't you think that, like, are you worried sometimes we're just going to fall through the floor?
Yes.
Like some sort of Wile E. Coyote
cartoon. Hill show thing going on right now.
You know how they fixed the Dookie tile that fell on my desk? They put boards up where there were spaces in the ceiling. That's what they
did. They screw them right in?
Yes, they did. And it was, I guess, because this...
Temporary fix.
Sure.
You didn't just stop working in your office. Can you just stop working in your office?
No, I have to work from home. And I like being around journalists. I do.
A big ding-dong.
Next time you have a Dookie fall on your desk.
Warren, do you own the property where you have European and U.S. Auto Body?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, that's a...
You want to hear a good story? Go, you ask me.
No, I'm just asking. I was going to wonder about maintenance and, like, what that's like to keep up. Because, so clearly, how many floors are there in the Tribune Tower, Scott, would you say? I think there's 25. I mean, like, it's staggered.
It's 33.
33. So, 25 in one area, 33 in another.
Right. Side issue, very quick. The Tribune Tower is the same height and almost the same weight as the Saturn V rocket that launched us to the moon.
Come on.
Think about this building leaving the ground.
Well, I can barely think of it staying on the ground because they aren't keeping it up.
No,
so that would be a mess.
Keeps it in your desk.
Yeah, don't keep the Dookie on your desk.
Maintenance on a building is insane.
Yeah. Imagine it being vertical rather than horizontal the way you have it.
Well, then I would have a very small roof.
Okay, yeah,
my roof is 100% of the footprint of the property.
Oh, my God.
It's a 38,000 square foot roof. Mm-mm. We were hit by a tornado. They called it a microburst August 17th, 2007.
God, do you remember where you were
off
for that?
Roof.
I do. I drove to Griffin's preschool. Right. I did. I drove to Griffin's preschool, and I was
our roof ended up on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, I remember this.
From our building.
Do you remember trees were uprooted, in Logan Square, in areas of Chicago? Like, there were just trees that were, like,
my business was
huge
almost
I was living in Alabama. This happened every day. Mm.
It was the scariest moment of my life. I ran to
were
the
you there?
Yes. And I created it. The wind was blowing. There was a storm across the street. I could see it through my front window. I saw the rain coming down. Then it started going on an angle. Then I saw it going sideways. And I saw these people on the street, and I started screaming for them to come into the building. They ran in. I pushed the button to close my garage door. The door closed. Once the garage door closed, I created a vacuum and brought the tornado into the back of the building, and it ripped the roof off of my building. It looked like grenades blew out the back. One of my men told me he was lifted off the ground and slammed against the wall.
Jesus.
Another guy broke his leg.
Oh, man.
It was insane. The whole area of the back was exposed. I had cars on hoists in the back, and you could just look through the windows or the building, and there they were.
Sure.
It was nuts.
That's crazy.
Now, as far as maintenance, that was $1 million.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they are not investing anything more in the building while we're here. There's a lot coming to the Tribune Tower.
What's going to this building?
It's going to be condo and retail space.
Oh, really?
And we are happy for everyone involved.
Sure, let's go with
that. Can we get a deal if we move in? I remember when I moved into my first condo, if you rented there, you got a 10% discount.
Yeah, we're not getting that.
We have a text and a letter of gratitude to Scott Stantis from a listener who says, thank you for bringing back the word dookie. I haven't heard that word since the 90s.
Well, I'm a product of the, 60s, but 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, you name it. You're welcome.
Is there another word that you haven't heard for a long time that's a little bit naughty, but it's a fun way?
Not naughty, but groovy.
Is dookie groovy?
No. Dookie's groovy.
Is your dookie groovy? Michael, would you say that Dookie is groovy? Michael's not going to answer
staring.
That question.
He's watching.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's got a question mark on his face. Or a couple of them and an exclamation.
In the 80s, my partner, who I actually shared a studio with, we coined the phrase grooviness.
Grooviness.
Yes.
Michael, are there any terms that we use that you're like, okay, I don't know, freaky deaky? Have you ever used them?
Sure.
Dookie.
Dookie. Are you familiar with Dookie? Do you have to Google
that one
Dookie?
That was a throwback.
Were you familiar with Dookie?
What are you asking here, Patty? I mean, I'm familiar with the word Dookie, yes, but I haven't heard it in a while, I suppose.
Yes. Esmeralda, do you have another term besides Dookie that maybe people... logs? I guess logs
Dropping twins off at the pool.
In that same realm?
I don't know. What other words that are like Dookie that you haven't heard for a long time?
Do you want to sink the Bismarck?
Dropping the twins off
Michael's
at the pool.
Michael's like, please don't go on this.
I use away.
That. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, Michael?
Oh, are we talking about more words? I don't know. I don't know any more great catchphrases like that.
Is that a catchphrase? Is Dookie a catchphrase?
I've been the Deuce. I know Scott Deuce.
There's the Deuce.
Yeah. He has at least three T-shirts with those catchphrases.
That's right. That's right.
Oh boy,
Dookie.
Dookie. It's really when that pipe fell on your desk. Were you like, ah? Oh. Great Dookie.
Yeah, actually, I really
was there
oh,
anything
no,
in the
Dookie?
Pipe?
I did.
Here's the thing. I find it hard to believe, Esmeralda, if crap falls on your desk, is the first word you think of Dookie? Ah, there's Dookie on my
no,
desk.
No, you say,
Yeah.
Shit.
As.
I can't. I would just run out the room.
Yeah, that was the first response. Yeah.
He's still waiting. He's still waiting for the rest of it, apparently. He's like, I'll just keep working.
No, it just
I have more pencils.
Well, it keeps happening because my drawing board's there, my Cintiq is there, my other stuff is there, my stuff is there. I can't leave Dookie.
And so is someone else's stuff. More after this on 720 WGN. It's Thursday. I know it's like, what, April? What is it, April 5th now? What day are we on, Scott? Have you kept track of this? April 5th, April 6th. Okay, April 6th. We even not talked about this all week. Did you guys do any April Fool's jokes? Because
no.
April Fool's.
I forgot it was even here.
Do
yeah,
you?
But Easter, I never do. April Fool's, when I was, okay, that's not true. In high school, I wrote a lot of articles. So our entire newspaper for April Fool's was completely rubbish. It was all like fake stuff. My piece sure. was about how McDonald's was going to move into our cafeteria and take over our lunch. Only, ha ha ha, and then years later they did.
Uh-huh.
So, I did.
Well, April 1st was also, it was also Easter.
Exactly.
And so we were at Easter Vigil. And so I have expected the priest to go because we're also.
Gotcha.
Well, we have baptism and uh-huh. we have people of RCIA, which is like adults who are converting Catholicism. And yeah, exactly that. So you are now. I'm just kidding.
It was a very strange day. You know, and you almost feel like it because it all feels weird. And then my issue was that there were a couple things that happened online. There was an alderman. Esmeralda, did you see this where an alderman posted that Jarvis Beach was named one of the top 12 beaches by, like, TripAdvisor or something?
No.
In Chicago? Jarvis? Our Chicago Jarvis Beach?
I think there's a punchline coming.
And so CBS News picked up the story.
Oh,
only
no,
what?
No, no.
It was
no,
an April
no.
Fool's joke by the alderman in that area, and CBS, rather than Googling it, just ran with the story and said that it was named one of the top 12 beaches, you know, because Honolulu
oh
or
God.
Anywhere in California. It was weird to watch on Sunday and Monday people falling for things. There was something, I know, a former business partner of mine posted something, and we've been kind of contentious, and he posted something that if it were true, I would get a lot of money for. Like he was saying, hey, I sold this project, and I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And then I kept reading. I'm like, oh, he's totally lying. It's an April Fool's joke. And then I
set up.
And then I saw another woman who had posted a picture of her car. She got in an accident over a bridge on some bad weather. And she was like, this is my day. And people unfriended her because they thought she was manipulating her.
No.
Them for okay. April Fool's. Yeah, just, you know what? I have deleted, because of April Fool's, I'm not kidding you, and some of my other friends, I've deleted Facebook from my phone as an app. I will only go log on to Facebook when I go online and go to the website because I'm constantly on there and I'm following these stories.
Are you trying to?
And all day on Sunday, it was BS. And
are you
I was
trying to tell me that I should take the cellophane wrap off of the toilet seat underneath where my daughter's
You were
go?
Listening last night? Man, there's a listener who's so mad at me. Okay, do you know about this,
no.
Scott? Okay, let me Google the story. But there is some science behind the idea that when you flush your toilet and leave the lid up, you are basically weaponizing fecal matter into your bathroom and coating all the things, including your toothbrush.
You know, okay. You and I are both history fanatics, right? We love history.
I'm not sure where this is going with poop on your toothbrush, but go ahead.
No, but do you know what? Let's face it, 21st century poop disposal is so much better than it was.
But that's the thing. The aggressiveness by which you're... Okay, so there are a lot of places you can go. Like, let's say even Business Insider. Would you consider that to be sort of a non-leaning politically
sure.
or sort of any...
bias on that site. You really should put the toilet seat down when you flush the toilet. The swirling water that removes your waste also mixes with small particles of that waste, shooting aerosolized feces into the air. Now, a listener last night said they put a linen over their toilet seat and they flushed and there was nothing on the linen. So my thing is, well, then go ahead and put that back on your pillow and go to sleep on it if you feel so good about it. Because I'm just saying.
That's fair.
That's fair. I'm not saying your pillowcase is going to be wet. I'm saying there are micro particles of
there
poopy,
are micro particles when you
dookie.
Because we in America, by the way, we don't wash our behinds. We don't use a bidet.
Okay, hold on.
So by the way,
let's get my bidet article. I have a bidet article. So we don't use bidets in the United States.
No, but we use paper, which is incredibly
crass.
Yes.
And
you mean they don't have TP in France?
Wait, what does that have to do with flushing on your toothbrush.
No, because I'm saying that bidets will clean your behind better than swiping it a couple of times with a piece of paper.
Okay, but what does that have to do with toilets flushing?
Because
on a toothbrush?
My point is that if it flushes a little bit, and as Americans, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, but
if you get poop on your toothbrush,
it's microscopic.
Is that why people have bad breath?
But it's still happening.
What's the acceptable amount of dookie on your toothbrush that you're willing to tolerate?
Zero.
On 720 WGN.
Zero.
Call in.
It is Thursday evening going into Friday morning. Joining me in the studio is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Warren Price, the proprietor of European U.S. Auto Body. And we're talking about a variety of things.
Really? I'll say a variety of things.
Would you rather I just talk about taxes? What do you want to talk about? Dookie or taxes?
Dookie's much more.
Seems the same. Seems to be in the same.
Taxes
Michael,
are in the
is
same
no one
field.
Ever going to let me talk about taxes?
You know, it's not the hottest of the.
But you're saying
the
I should never. I shouldn't ask, right?
I mean, I want to learn more about the EIC credits. Don't you?
Let's throw around those hot topics of fiscal dividends.
I think we can interweave bidets and what the IRS is looking for as far as warning signs on your tax returns.
IBS, like, more like it.
I think that we can do.
Is
so
that
here.
The brown ink?
Oh God!
So there are some red flags that the IRS will look for.
Oh, I have a story about bidets here. So
what do you want to do? You want to do bidets?
Why don't we just go back and forth?
We will. Okay. So here's number one.
All right.
Do not turn into the most generous person in America. One of the most common reasons for an audit is when the taxpayer is taking a higher than average deduction in relation to their income. This can come from various types of deductions, charitable contributions, real estate interest, or student loans. The IRS has a sense of what's a fair amount of deductions based on income brackets. So if someone blows past that threshold, that can stop it. It could lead to an audit. For example, if someone hasn't earned $120,000 in income and claimed $50,000 of charitable contributions, they smell a turd. I'm just kidding. It says rat. So that, I turn it over to you, Scott, in our conversation.
Before, that's a great leader.
But even before the war, bidets were linked to sex and scandal in the United States and Britain.
Oh, sex and scandal.
Because apparently they were, as we were talking off the air, they were
associated.
American servicemen somehow associated them with bordellos in France. In Europe.
Which is interesting because when women were brought, some women who came to the United States or came to the colonies had shaven legs. Many of them were prostitutes, and it became an aesthetic that many men in the colonies enjoyed, and we continue to shave our legs to this
day. That's the reason?
But apparently our booties cannot be shiny clean.
No.
They have shiny, slick legs.
Lips that touch bidets shall never touch mine.
All right. Going back to the IRS red flags. Claiming a loss from your beloved hobby. This is for all the side hustlers. Know the difference between a business and a hobby. The IRS allows hobby deductions for expenses up to the amount of income generated by that hobby. Say the taxpayer is a knitter. Do you like to knit, Warren? Anybody like to knit?
I always knit. Yeah, you should see this afghan I have.
Seriously?
It's crochet.
Okay.
Are you a knitter?
No, I tried. It did not work out.
So you might sell a few scarves and hats on the side of your everyday business, but can only claim a deduction for the expense up to the amount that you earn.
So that's...
Well, you know, Patty, my reaction to that is while bidets were truly terrible at pregnancy prevention, bidets could be helpful for another taboo, menstruation.
Oh, you could flush that.
Yes.
So women thought that maybe they could flush the...
I think it's
the...
a good thing to use that.
Interesting.
Is it?
So women used it. Women used to use it to try to prevent a pregnancy. Like afterwards, it'd be like,
apparently,
out, damn spots.
Yes.
What were they?
Yes, wash. I'm going to wash that. I'm
going to wash that man right out of my hair.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to get letters.
Say all the letters. The IRS red flags that you want to avoid as you file your taxes.
Yes.
Withdrawing from a retirement account early. There are some scenarios where an individual is allowed to take withdrawals from a retirement account prior to being 59 and a half years old, when, for example, you use that portion of the money for a first-time home, qualified education expense, or emergency medical costs. But the IRS does charge a 10% penalty on top of the tax paid on the withdrawal when none of those exceptions are met. Almost 40% of taxpayers did not report the withdrawal when they did not qualify for the exemptions. So you need to make sure that you're aware of those.
Yeah, along the same lines, Patty, in the United States, bidets recalled all kinds of feminine failings, women's sexuality, women's unwanted pregnancies, and women's biology. As such, they were shunned.
Oh. Well, there is an idea that...
Did you ever shun a bidet?
I never...
When she was paying her taxes.
Yes. Well, you know, I think I'm going to fill out my taxes while I'm on a bidet. I'm going to order a... You can order a bidet on Amazon.com.
That'd be very stressless.
I would just think.
Who's going to install it?
Very refreshing. You can have a plumber install it. That's kind of part of the process, isn't it? Why are you asking?
You don't even need that.
Bathrooms today.
You don't need a man.
Aren't physically set for the extra plumbing.
You can actually have it.
You can just put it. You can just attach it to the toilet seat.
Yes.
And you hook it up to the water.
To the water. There's an extra tube that just it's linked up to the water tank.
I want to get in the bidet business in the United States.
You already are.
Well, you know what happened in 1964? The American Bidet Company took another run at making the bidets more palatable by combining the toilet
palatable
with a switching function.
I love
that. The company's founder, Arnold Cohen, God bless him, created this device for his ailing father. Aww. Studies have shown that bidet bathing can help heal rashes, hemorrhoids,
yes,
and other irritations.
That makes complete sense. I didn't even thought
I think we're all a debt to
Arnold Cohen.
I still
want to see the tie-in between me and bidets.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find it, Warren. I really am.
Keep going.
Well,
so what more about my taxes?
Let's just say you're like, they say if you're, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in a car accident.
Oh, that's true.
Wait. Time out.
I'm going to stop. We're going to stop. Yes.
My father-in-law was skipping school. He was walking behind the school, and for some reason... God knows why the archery was the activity of the day of the PE class, and he got shot in the leg by an arrow. I'm not making this up. Was rushed to the hospital, and the doctors and nurses complimented him on his clean underwear.
See?
Bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Well, that's why.
My hat's off to you.
You know what the trick is to not wear any underwear.
Ooh.
I did that once.
Once?
Yeah, I didn't have any clean.
And you still remember the day? You like just once?
It was January 17th, 1970.
Okay, come on. Around the horn. You guys always are sheathed, I guess? You never go...
No, I go commando sometimes.
All right. I can't ask my producer. I'm pretty sure HR... Yeah, I go commando.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah.
Women can do that?
I love it.
Am I going... Well, let me check.
Sometimes. What about... What about the dental floss?
We're not going to go.
But it's actually considered to not be very sanitary. I do have a collection of those, but it's not considered
they
sanitary.
They don't look like it.
Yeah.
They don't. They just cram it all up in there. Yeah,
Chen DeSalvo, is she up at the news desk? She's like, please don't ask
where
me.
No man has gone
She's like,
before.
Please don't ask me. Please, please, please don't ask me. Please. She's like, I'm a news person. I'm a journalist. Do not ask me if I've ever gone commando.
Good evening. Good morning.
Yes.
Whatever it is by now, I guess. Maybe when I was younger, but it's been a long time.
Fair enough. Have you ever used a bidet?
No, but I've seen them live in person, and I've always been very interested.
Why?
What do you mean live and in person? You've been in the
in
company
the
of... Yes.
Okay, well, yeah, I've been to France.
Are
so...
you and the bidet have been in the same room?
Why didn't you try it out? It was intimidating?
Well, I was a teenager. You know, my mom had to explain to me, like, what they were actually used for.
It's exactly what it's used
for.
No,
I thought it was a water fountain.
Yeah. I know. No. A friend
you're drinking,
of mine,
yeah.
Yeah, a friend of mine had one in their home, and she said how many times people would walk out of the bathroom with just their faces just drenched because they thought it was a drink.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought they were urinals.
Oh,
I really do think we should, like, this show could single-handedly bring back the bidet.
I feel like we should get a sponsor from one of the bidet companies.
Oh, my God.
I'm
yes.
just saying.
Call Mr. Cohen.
American Bidet Company, who is, like, the founder is Arnold Cohen. You can ask one of his forebears.
And they can make it as an attachment, so you don't have to do, like, a whole fixture next to your toilet. Right. You just have it attached to your toilet
seat. I think that's a great idea. Somebody who mentioned about attaching it right to the
Esmeralda.
The Esmeralda?
Yes.
And
let's
Arnold
go into
Cohen.
Business, girl.
Yeah, I have a friend who has one.
Will you call Mr. Cohen for us?
I think the big manufacturer now is Toto.
Oh, yeah.
Toto. I've been to the men's room.
You know this?
Here's a company called Tushy Classic Bidet Attachment.
I'm sorry. That's not funny.
I'm just...
Actually, it is funny.
It's kind of funny.
How about the blue bidet? It just sounds like fun to say.
Does the water that come out is blue?
Well, I would imagine that you're less blue when you have a bidet. Oh, what? I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Sad. I meant sad. You're less sad.
Okay.
Well, it's supposed to make you feel good, isn't it?
Blue bidet. It sounds like a song from the 50s. It's like the 40s. It's a blue bidet.
What does this mean? Decode.
That's
floor standing bidet.
Wait,
it's
what?
It's a decode.
I want to know what floor standing means.
It's a standalone bidet.
Oh, there's a picture.
It's aggressive.
Don't flash that at me.
That looks aggressive.
That means it's got its own room.
Okay, hold on. Here's one that has like a shower handle, like the ones that you have.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No. The ones I say that in
shower handle?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess you have more control.
How long is the cable?
As long as you need it to be.
Yes.
I'm guessing. Whatever your
attachment important.
Needs are. I don't know.
God,
I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, we brought WGN to a place they've never been before.
Oh, no, they've been places. But I like having a warmed seat. Have you ever enjoyed that?
They have these new things that where you can put electric heaters in cement in your sidewalks.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Well, why don't they do that in toilet
they
seats?
Do.
They do.
They do.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
We visited that Chicago Magic Lounge for a WGN radio recess, and they have heated seats, but I only believe it's in the female bathroom.
Oh.
No, guys.
So now, wait a second.
Warren, stay with me on this. Guys would not appreciate that.
No. I'm right now ready
why
to
would
sue.
You appreciate this?
I want to sue. It's unfair. It's sexist. It's
no,
it's,
now you're being
because you guys
still.
Spend a lot more time in there?
No, we just go drop the twins off at the pool and we're done, man.
Wow. We have a listener who has a question about the bidets. We have a listener named Glenn. Glenn, what's your question about the bidets?
Yeah, well, number one, I'm trying to figure out the correlation between bidets and income taxes.
You know what? They both relieve your crappiness.
They both get you right where you live, brother.
Yeah.
But if you use a bidet to clean yourself, how do you dry yourself?
There's a towel next to it.
A hair dryer?
There are some bidets that have dryers built in.
Oh,
so
goodness.
You have like
pressure blowers.
Those Japanese ones.
Glenn, I got to be honest with you, I'd never leave that one. But most of the ones I was at in Europe have a towel.
Yeah. Save it. Oh.
So
a whole towel devoted to just
have you used
that?
One, yes. Scott?
What's
do
that?
Not put that on the hand rag. One.
I did.
So do you have more than one person uses a towel?
Yeah, I'm guessing you sort of dispense of it in a bin. You
is it a paper towel?
I did not ask, and I did not tell.
I just like toilet paper.
Pretty much.
Right. So you like a lot of places have like a receptacle like in the area.
Sure,
so it's like
that.
Dirty laundry.
Okay.
Yeah, don't put it back up on the rack for someone to dry their hands on.
Uh-oh. Or your face.
Yeah.
Or your face. Yeah.
See?
Yeah. I like this guy.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
And like Paul Harvey says, that's the rest of the story.
That's the rest of the story,
my face
Glenn.
Smelled like Dookie.
Okay.
Have a great time, Glenn. We love hearing from you. Talk to you again soon.
Glenn,
how do you dry off? Just carefully.
They usually have a towel by the thing.
Hold on, let me see.
Dedicated.
Let me see if there's a there. I think there are dryers built.
There's got to be.
This segment is now turned into. Let's talk about this quirky story. Also, let me shop while we're talking.
Yes, let's you shop and talk about your taxes.
Bidet dryer. Hold on a second. So,
Say it like an infomercial.
The bidet. Let me find the description of it. Oh, here
okay,
we go.
Okay, here you go.
This is the genuine Samsung electronic bidet toilet seat dryer. Stainless steel nozzle. You can use the longer of stainless steel nozzles because stainless steel nozzle contamination does not adhere well. Low noise, high performance.
How does that feel?
It's windy. It's very, very windy. Where the sun don't shine. More after this on 720 WG.